Hello and welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we are your weekly teacher council meeting. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
Yes, and today we are going to talk about a subject that I think we have all has affected us all. I think. Maybe not you, Julie. But certainly me. We'll find out. So I got to tell you a little story. Before I worked at NASA, I was doing when I went to go to NASA, I was doing this thing, right? Which hardly anyone understood at that time. I'm not going to get in blah, 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 but I was going to do this thing. I was doing it before, but with a really small company, 50 people in the company, right? And I did this thing and it worked well. And then I was laid off from that company. And this was 2009. And I saw on Twitter, NASA saying, hey, we need someone to do this thing for us. And I'm like, I can. And so I contacted them and I flew out there and we had this whole discussion. We went through this several day thing. They're like, can you do this? I'm like, yep, it's what I've been doing. Yep, what I've been doing. Great. And I went home and I told Kelly about it. And she goes, can you do this? And I said, I don't know. I think so. I think I can. I'm confident in my abilities, but I did it with a small company, not with NASA, right? This is very, very, I mean, this is wow. So I started working with NASA and it worked out just fine. I mean, it worked out very, very well, but there was some imposter syndrome there a bit of like, I mean, can I really do this? Yes, yes, I can, but I really don't know. Am I making myself more than I really am? Or do I have this in me to do this? Or am I even the best one to do this? I don't know that I am, but here I am. And I'm right. Have you felt that before?
Oh gosh. Yes. In fact, it's so funny that you say that because there are certain subjects that I know I'm, you know, good at teaching when it comes to, you know, my professional work, like consulting. And for some reason, whenever I take on a new client, I have this insecurity about, but what if they don't like my teaching style? What if they don't like the way that, what if they think that it's stupid? These thoughts, you know, that I've been teaching for so long, sometimes I'll go, well, are they really as profound as they think they are? Because they were profound to me when I learned them, but maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, totally. 100%. And it's this, I think it's a very natural thing to have happen when you're taking on something new.
You know what? I had never quite thought of it that way, but I think you're right. Because each new client that I get professionally, it's like, will this even work for them? Will they think it's as profound as I am? Or will that profoundness have an effect on them in the way that I think it will? And typically it does, right? It works out and you're like, well, duh, of course. But every time you get into a new situation, you go through that whole thing again, don't you?
Well, and I think that's normal. Like if you think about a little bit of, you know, human nature is that when you're trying something new, you anticipate growing pains. Like when you start a new job, period. Like think about when you were a teenager and you started a new job, you would feel like an idiot for the first however long. And that I don't think changes all the way up to becoming an adult. When you're doing something, like when I got called to work in Scouts, I was like a fumbling, bumbling mess. I didn't feel like the boys liked me. I'm like, I feel like I don't know what to do with you. And I didn't know the language. Like there's a scouting language. Who knew I had to learn another language?
Right.
I think some of that is supernatural because of the fact that you're being thrown into something that you don't necessarily, like, it's not comfortable. And discomfort breeds insecurity sometimes, right?
Right. And it's not so much, I've at least found it with me, it's not so much that I'm getting vibes from other people that make me think that I'm a dork or that, you know, that I'm incompetent in this one thing and I really shouldn't be there. It should be someone else. It's my insecurities. It's pretty much all me.
Yeah. 100% in our heads.
Yeah. I might see a look of someone's face and I'm think, oh, did I say the wrong thing? And they're just, it's bad gas for them. That's all it was, right? It had nothing to do with me. They just squirmed a little bit, right? And that's good. But I think we put so much of that on ourselves, and it's not. Now, I bring this up because of an email we received. Anyone can go to teachingrestored.com and leave us a note, drop us a note. And this one particular person did, and I am so thankful that she did. Let me read this, because this is just so good. She said, I teach adult Sunday school and love teaching. I always learn more when I teach, right? That's,
yeah,
you and I and so many others listening to this as well. Okay. So far, so good. I feel I am doing my best. Good for you. Even though I'm a work in progress. Yes, as we all are, right? Okay, good. At trying to listen to the Spirit and testify of Christ. We can always do better. We're a work in progress. You know, we're always learning. Good. But I have a huge imposter syndrome. And I feel that I have no business teaching. I am no expert, and that someone else would do a better job than me. How can I deal with this? How can I overcome it and fulfill the calling the Lord has given me?
Okay, I kind of love this.
So do I.
I know.
Okay, initial thoughts.
Okay, so I feel like I want to start this like a Dear Abby thing, like it was a Dear Abby.
Okay.
Dear, so you would make up a name like Dear Imposter, but then that sounds really negative. So I just want to say, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you for leaning into this calling. Mm-hmm. So there were a couple of thoughts that I had initially. My first thought was, I feel like an imposter, not just when it's a topic that I don't fully understand, which very natural. Like I remember when I first got called to teach the stake religion class, I felt so inadequate. And so when you're talking about kind of those feelings of inadequacy and the idea that someone else could do it better, the first thing that I recognized is that the minute that I started to compare myself to the previous teacher, it felt crappy, period. Right. And comparison is the thief of joy in every way when it comes to this. Heavenly Father didn't call person X, who may be more articulate or who may whatever, called you. And so that's all the endorsement that you need. Do not allow comparison to creep in, like shut it down hard.
Good.
The second part of it though, and this may be something like, this is a little bit hard to articulate, but I'm going to try. I think that sometimes I still feel imposter syndrome when I'm teaching about something that I don't fully have a testimony of yet. Mm. And I think that sometimes, like I think I have a testimony, and then when I go to testify of this, I've said this before, I kind of go, oh crap, what do I actually feel about this? And I haven't really processed through it enough myself personally, how it applies, how it feels, how it sinks in, how can I behave differently because of this? Because in my mind, the information is not the testimony. The testimony is the experience with it. And if I don't have a lot of experience with it, I feel like an imposter sharing about it and then testifying of it. And so I'm finding myself, when I feel like an imposter, leaning into authenticity and saying, there are, like, I really don't fully understand this topic, and I'm looking forward to learning from you. And people embrace that kind of humility and jump into your camp when you share it like that, right? And then the other thing is, you know, I'm a work in progress. That was the best line that you said. Share that with your class. I am a work in progress. When it comes to this principle, I'm still trying to like actually feel it. Like I got it here based on what I studied, but like, it's not here yet. I'm working on that part still. You know, I'd love to hear some of your feelings about it. If you've had an experience that's helped you to feel like you have a testimony of this principle or whatever the case may be. So I guess that what I would say is feeling like an imposter, I think, will help to fuel some more authentic discussions in the class rather than be a disadvantage to you in any way, shape, or form. That's my opinion.
I love it. So good. Why don't then? Okay, follow up question. I'm assuming that this person that sent this to us hasn't told this adult Sunday school class that she feels this way. What would happen if she did, do you think?
So that's kind of what I was referring to, right?
Like, yeah.
That's the authenticity that I mean. Like I don't think that, at least for me, I can tell you when I have sat in a classroom and somebody has expressed their discomfort or has shared their nervousness or has said, I kind of feel like an imposter because so many of you could teach this better than I mean, I found myself saying that before, especially when it comes to certain settings where I know the people have studied something way more than I have. And I feel like a baby in terms of my understanding.
Right.
I put it out there and I have felt from the people in that room. And I've also felt as a participant more engagement because of that acknowledgement. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. It's almost that they want to connect with you. They want to cheer you on because of the authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like
that. I just feel like in too much, and this is, you know, old people church culture, right? We're a little bit of the old people now. And church culture used to be to put on a little bit of a front yes. of perfectionism. Like we're yep. all striving to be perfect. We didn't really understand that perfect actually means a work in progress towards the potential for which we were created. And so our imperfection is in fact progress towards perfection. And so we put up almost a little bit of a front and it was about appearance less than it was about like authenticity. And I just think that we have to step out of that mindset and like we have to reject that mindset. Mm-hmm. I think the only way for us, not just as individuals, but also collectively as a church, to get to the point where we are creating Zion, we have to be more unified. And that type of unified connection only happens through authenticity. We have to model it in like every system of the church. And so what a great opportunity to model it in the Sunday school system at church.
That's good. So you're saying just be straight up and say,
absolutely.
This is kind of how I feel. Hope you'll forgive me. I'm just going to keep going though.
Don't say, I'm going to tell you this is a pet peeve.
Okay.
Okay. This is me being on a little bit of a high horse. I don't mean to at all. Sorry, that sounded really arrogant when I said it that way. But don't say I'm not prepared or I didn't have time to prepare.
Right.
Or any of those things. Even if you didn't, like, don't say that. What you feel is an imposter is not to be equated in any way with not putting effort in. So don't minimize the effort you put in because you don't want to look bad if you don't sound super scholarly or knowledgeable. Yeah. So in other words, when you're being authentic, don't in any way minimize your effort so that people don't go, wow, A for effort, but like that was nothing. No, you're not worried about that. What you're worried about is just being honest. So don't minimize Good. Your effort.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I have a couple thoughts on this, on her email here. First off, there's a show that my family and I have watched. It's called Designated Survivor.
Oh yeah.
And basically everyone at the very beginning dies and the designated survivor, which was director of urban development or something like that, becomes president of the United States and thrown in. All of a sudden he has to guide the country through this horrible tragedy, et cetera. And he goes along and he does it and he missteps, but he catches himself and it's just really, really difficult for him because he was not even thinking this would ever happen to him. And let's say about a year into his presidency, he sits down with someone. I think he was, I don't know. with one of the people that work for him. And he said, do you ever get the feeling that you're working for the wrong person? And she said, no. And he goes, why? And she said, because the wrong person would never ask me that question. And I loved that. And yes. Right. I mean, that is how I kind of feel this email came through was, I feel like I'm the wrong person. Yeah. No. And that's why you're the right person.
Yes. Oh, that's a good example. And I know exactly what you're talking about because that's in season one. And that humility that he had, yes. If you keep going, like it built so much trust among the people, even who were across political lines.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that it built trust with them. So, you know, even like the stinky pants scholar who's kind of snobby coming into class thinking that they know a lot, I think is kind of endeared to you in a way by that kind of honesty instead right. of trying to fake that you think you know everything.
Right. And in the show, there are a lot of people who feel I know a lot better than he right. does, and I could do better than that. I mean, there are a lot of people who said that basically. And he said, yeah. Doesn't matter. I've been put in this position. Yep. I have to do this.
And when you watch that confidence from the outside, you're inspired by it. But when you're feeling that insecurity from the inside, it's really hard to portray that kind of confidence.
Agreed. So hard. So yeah. Another thing that as I'm reading this.
By the way, Kevin, that was a really good example. I liked that.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yeah, okay. I tried to look for the exact wording in this, but it's more alluded to. So I'm going to change the wording a little bit. She said, I am no expert and that someone else could do a better job than me. I'm going to change that and say, I am no expert in teaching. I'm going to add that and teaching in there. Okay. And someone else would do a better job at teaching than me. So I think one of the ways to deal with imposter syndrome in this is to completely flip that around and say, teaching, well, who said you were teaching? Or to say, redefine teaching, mm-hmm. right? Because there may be better, someone who is more scholarly, right? Mm-hmm. An academician. Remember, Julie?
Oh, I remember. Oh my gosh.
An academician. And they know so much more. Absolutely. There will always, I think back to Abraham, the book of Abraham, where there yeah. is one star, there is another star that's always brighter. Yeah. 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 And that's the way it's going to be in a class. There will always be someone who is better at just about everything that you do, mm-hmm. but it doesn't matter because the Lord said, I need a combination of this and that's embodied in you. And that's what I need right now. So it's not so much that you know less than, it's not so much that you don't have the skills that it's, he needs you. It's not all this other thing. It's you and who you are. And no one can be better at you than you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly who he needs. So maybe take the word teaching and change it. Maybe say, I'm not going to teach this class. I'm going to lead a spirit-filled discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to facilitate this in a way that we all feel the spirit and come close to Christ. I mean, you could change it a whole bunch of different ways. Don't think about teaching in the strict sense. Think about, get a little bit more broad to something that you feel comfortable with and say, okay, I that's something that I can do. Then go do that and let that kind of be your guide as to how you manage the affairs of the classroom of this adult Sunday school class.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really interesting. Actually, I was thinking about in my reading this week in preparation for class tomorrow, it's the chapters about Ammon and Aaron, and I feel like there is just so much in there about how to be like how to teach the gospel and specifically about being a missionary. Right. But one of the things that stuck out to me is how Ammon and Aaron's missions, if you were to put them side by side, are so different. And you could never, ever, ever compare Ammon as a missionary to Aaron as a missionary. Like when you look at the way that Ammon approached things. And you're like, wow, that was incredible. Like, he served first and he, you know, was able to do all of these amazing things. And like, I went through and actually made a note of all of the things that we learn about being an effective missionary from Ammon. And so in chapters 17 through 19, I probably have like 30 things.
Wow.
And then as you get into the chapters with Aaron, it's different. It's so different. And it talks about the people that he's teaching and how they respond to him and how, you know, they, like, he has to kind of go abort, abort a couple of different times. And if you were to put them side by side and compare them, that would be the rudest, most unkind thing that you possibly could, and say, who is the more effective missionary? That would be horrible. Like, you just right. wouldn't ever do that. And I think that sometimes we think that that's what's happening in people's minds about mm-hmm. us in front of the classroom. We think, oh, they're comparing me to the last person that taught. Oh, there's a massive shoot. Nobody's comparing you to anybody. Like, when you are leading a good, authentic, spirit-filled discussion, nobody is doing that. And if they are, they're rude. Right. And so what you have to remember is that, again, this idea of comparison is really important to kind of abandon, because you would miss the incredible lessons that you learn from Ammon as a missionary if you were to only say that, oh no, Aaron was more effective because he went up against these people and he figured out how to pivot when his approach wasn't working. And so that was amazing. Or, oh, Aaron didn't start with service the way that Ammon did. And so he was less. You would miss out on one or the other of those if in any way you were choosing to compare. And likewise, I think that we as learners need to remember that that's part of it. And so you as a teacher can take confidence in this, that we as learners we're looking for what we can get from the person that's facilitating the discussion. That's our responsibility. Yeah. And it is your responsibility as a facilitator of the discussion to please everybody in that space. Right. Your responsibility is to do what you can to invite the spirit.
Right. And I think we think about that too often. I mean, we really do. We're trying to be the best we can be. And the whole comparison thing that you mentioned earlier, you're spot on. But I'll tell you so I'm in the bishopric right now. Mm-hmm. And it happens when we say, okay, someone needs to fulfill this calling, and Sunday school, adult Sunday school, gospel doctrine teacher comes up. This is my opinion, not everyone's opinion, but right. My opinion is not to say who would do the best job at that. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to get the best person in there. We are trying to get someone who can even grow into it. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, because each calling that we have is about our growth. If we put the perfect person in there that can do the best teaching, how are they growing? Mm-hmm. They're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done this for 20 years and they're, you know, they can, and they've done, you know, they've gone through the Book of Mormon 8 times or whatever it is. That's not as a church of what we're trying to do. We're trying to build people. So you may see yourself, you know, how can I overcome a fulfilled calling the Lord has given me? I'm no expert. Someone would do a better job than me. Again, a better job at what? Mm-hmm. Right? You mm-hmm. have to kind of redefine that, but also realize that the Lord didn't put me in this position because I'm the best. Yeah. Do they call bishops and stake presidents and people in other callings because they're the best? The answer is no.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Am I in my calling in the bishopric there because I'm the best? No way on earth. I know many other men who would do a much better job than I could. So it isn't about who can do the best. Then what is it about? If it's not about who's going to do the best, what are we trying to fulfill in this? And I think that's if we take a look at it from that perspective, then we have to almost change the game. We have to change the rules that we've written in our mind of this. Why I'm here is because I am trying to do, or I need to do the best. No, it's not. Then what is your purpose? What are you actually trying to do? And go do that instead. Yeah.
So when you were saying that, I have to admit that I thought, well, that might make her feel a little bit like crap, because you're basically saying, this is what, so this is one way of looking at it. What you're kind of saying is, yeah, you aren't the best person. And that's probably why you were chosen. And then she's like, oh, wah, wah. That's why I feel like an imposter, because I am an imposter. False, right? This is the message that you are trying to get across, is that it actually doesn't matter whether or not the bishop thought she is the best person and you just disagree with him. Or if the bishop thought there's a great opportunity for growth here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all.
It's not in the equation.
It's not. So here, can I just make a super practical suggestion?
Yes.
And that suggestion is that what you feed grows. And if you give any attention to the idea that you are an imposter, that is going to grow in you. And then when you botch a lesson, because you will, everybody does, then that's going to validate your perception that you're an imposter and that somebody else could do it better. And that will grow and grow and grow until it literally overtakes your brain. And so when you ask the question at the very end, you know, how do I overcome this? You overcome it by not feeding it. So what do you feed instead? You can't just like push the thought out of your brain. What can you feed instead? And I would encourage you, and all of us actually, to pray about what your spiritual gifts are, because your spiritual gifts, whether you have them now or are going to pray to have them, are what we have callings to develop, right? That's part of it. You know, think about Paul's description of the body of Christ. Well, you know, if only, now I'm going to botch it, but let me just tell you how I interpret it. I picture it like Mr. Potato Head. Okay. And so if you, the eye, you know, were, if all people were the eye, then Mr. Potato Head's going to look ridiculous. If all people were the mouth, they'd look ridiculous. If he had only arms sticking out of his head, he'd look ridiculous. And so whatever unique gift you can add to it, even if it's a spiritual gift that you have to pray to develop more, that's the point of this calling, is for you to develop that more. And good thing that you don't look just like the eyeball that did it before you, that you have your own unique gifts. And then that's what you feed.
Yes.
Like that's what you feed. You focus on that, and you focus on at the end of every lesson, not saying, you know, this is what I did wrong, and this is what I did wrong, this is what I did wrong. No, you feed your victories. You give yourself drops of awesome after every class, and you say, oh, one drop of awesome for me because I asked really great questions, and oh, drop of awesome because I responded really well when people actually answered my questions. I stated it back. I listened. I engaged. They felt validated. Ooh, drop of awesome for me because even though I was nervous, I didn't wet my pants. Oh, drop of awesome. You see what I say? Like, give yourself, feed that.
I'm writing that down.
Nope, don't write that down, Kevin.
That's going to be in the title. Yeah. Drops of awesome.
Okay, drops of awesome. I thought the pee my pants part was going to be.
No, not that part. We'll leave that part out.
Thank you.
Drops of awesome.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Rather than thinking, on the lines of best, which is a, you know, kind of a tiered system, it's more of on what is right. Who was the right person? Well, obviously, if the Lord called me, then I am the right person. Feed that you are the right person for right now. Feed that one right there, rather than being the best. Again, best is not even a part of the equation of this, or shouldn't be. I'll say absolutely not. Right? It is who is the right person. Because here's another example. My wife Kelly, she just was released as the Stake Young Women's president, and when she was first called, we were sitting on the couch with a member of the Stake presidency, and he called her to that. And she goes, oh no, do you know what you're doing? I don't do things like other people. And he said, good. And she said, There is no fluff in this body. I don't know how to frou-frou anything with young women. I don't, that isn't me. And he said, and that's what we're counting on.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay. Right. She could not, you know, she has tried to be creative in these other ways that other women might be, and she's not. And I think that's one of the superpowers that she has, is that she is not that way. Yep. So what we may see as someone's superpower, as their drop of awesome, may be effective at that time, but what the Lord needs is your drop of awesome right now.
I love that. That's
my new favorite phrase, drop of awesome. Drop of
awesome. So go sprinkle some awesome on your Sunday school class.
There you go. I love it. There, that's right. Drop the mic. Mic drop. Okay, thank you. That's so good. So good. Because you and I will get new callings here at some point. I don't want to say soon, but
I want to talk about it. I want to stay in my calling forever.
Well, don't you? Mm-hmm. But it's not going to happen, because how are you going to grow, Julie?
I know.
All right. Well, that's great. So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And hopefully this helped. If you feel any amount of imposter syndrome, and hopefully it helped the person who sent that email in. And we would encourage you to do the same. If there is something that you're struggling with, something that you think, how do I deal with this? I was about to list off a whole bunch of things, but you know what they are. It could be any of them. Please let us know. TeachingRestore.com. Come in and drop a note. Let us know. How can we help you be a better gospel teacher? Thanks for watching and listening, everyone. Take care.
Thanks.